You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 45. Now we've got a guest caller today, Suzanne, with a very exciting dream to unwrap. And we've actually just recorded the podcast with Suzanne and here I am recording the little bit that goes on in the front. But before going over to Suzanne, I thought I'd just enlighten everybody listening in as to how the procedure of podcasting goes, because all our guests are quite surprised when they find out how simple it is. Here's how it works. There's no big studio here. There's nothing complicated. In fact, probably the only piece of equipment that we bought to do this whole podcast show is a special podcasting microphone, which I'm talking to you at the moment. Michael, my husband, does all the IT stuff. He's the IT man. All I do is turn up and sit in front of the microphone at the appointed time and have a conversation with the caller. All sorts of complicated things happen that you don't need to know about once Michael's finished with it. It goes down to the Lifestyle Pod Network people in Sydney, and they do the complicated stuff that puts it out for you to listen to, that puts it on iTunes and all the other stuff. But as far as the situation here in the office is concerned, it's Michael on his computer. It's me sitting on just a chair in front of the podcast microphone, which is actually balanced on a pile of books. I've got my headphones on so that I can speak to the caller. I've got a little clock so I can see the time. I've got a pencil, which I never use because I find it distracting to take notes. And I've got a drink of water, which today was a nice drink of mango juice because it's the middle of the summer here in Australia. All that happens at the guest end is that you have a phone or you have Skype. And we set up a time to call. And so, for example, I set up with Suzanne, who actually lives in the US, and worked out the time zone for her. And she was on the other end of her phone. And when the appointed hour came, her phone rang. She picked it up and she just had a conversation with me, her on the phone, me on the podcast microphone, neither of us doing anything other than talking about the dream, and Michael doing all the hard work at the computer. And when the conversation's over, well, we stay on and have a little chat after we finish recording, and then Suzanne puts the phone down and I switch off the microphone and go back to my work of interpreting other people's dreams. So that's how simple it is. If you're thinking about you'd like to be a guest on the show and thinking there's something complicated here, there is not. Your phone goes, or you go on Skype and you just have a chat and we record it, and it's as simple as that. So here we go. I think you're going to love Suzanne's dream, and particularly listen out for the very the multi-layers of interpretation, and listen out for the beautiful way in which Suzanne begins to join in the interpretation, has lots of, oh, yes, that, aha, oh, well, so this means that moments. And also listen to how she listens to her body and her body responses to what I'm saying in the interpretation. I think you're going to love this one. Here we go. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Thanks.
And you've got a dream for us?
Yes, ma'am. You ready for me?
I'm ready. I have no idea what you're going to give me, but I'm ready.
Okay. So here we go. I'm in an airport and trying to... Oh, just a thing. It's kind of a long dream, but I'll keep it as condensed as possible.
Okay.
I'm in an airport trying to figure out a travel situation. I am hoping that an ex-boyfriend living in Iowa will let me stay for a few days until my car gets fixed. Scene shift. I get a... fragile. It's folded into thirds. The writing on the letter is in red ink, spidery writing I do not recognize. I can't make out the text, but I understand it is full of ambivalence. I love you. I don't love you. I look at the close of the letter for whether it says love or not. I see the writing gets bigger, and there's a word beginning with V. I can make out V-E-R and maybe a T in it. Then another sudden scene shift. A wide, sprawling paddle cactus stands between me and where I want to go. On its left is a large mud puddle, and on the left side of the cactus is rotting.
Is what? Rotting? It's rotting, did he say?
See, I'm not sure how to get past the cactus. I can't really find a way around it. and I don't have shoes and clothing on that would protect me from its spines if I went over it. And that's it.
Wow. That wasn't that long, really. quick shift from airport to desert. But actually, were you in the desert when you saw the cactus?
I was not in the desert. I was, I think I was in Vermont.
Ah, right, okay. And Vermont begins with V-E-R and ends with T.
Yeah,
and you had the word V-E-R and a T in the letter. What do you associate with Vermont? Is that a place that you've lived or been or?
You mean Vermont and Iowa?
Yeah.
Iowa is a state that this guy actually did live in. And I did visit him there. And I'm from the state next door, Nebraska. And Vermont is a place that I hardly ever go to. I've been there once or twice.
Right. So if you think of Vermont, even though you've only been there once or twice, if you had a quick gut response to what the personality of Vermont would be, what word would you give me?
Well, I know that Vermont kind of means green mountain, and that actually does, I do think green, and I do think mountainous, and it's a place where I can relax, and it's, the green I can't get out of my head, so green.
Green, okay, that's lovely. So green and relaxing and kind of growth and fresh air and kind of quite the opposite to a cactus, really.
Yeah.
In a sense, yeah. Okay, coming in at the middle of the dream, because I'm sure you've heard enough podcasts now, Suzanne, and our listeners have to know that I never really start at the beginning of a dream. But coming in at the middle of the dream there at the cactus, because the cactus is really kind of almost the most unusual symbol and also the focal point of your dream, really. And the essence of the cactus in the dream, is it something that you can't go round or you can't find a way round and you would prefer not to go over or through because of the spikes as well?
It's really big.
How big?
And it's like, I can't go around it. I can't go over it. It's flat. I can't, on one side it's like completely rocky and a cliff, and on the other side it's like mucky and gross and, like, if I go forward or try to go around it, then I'm just going to get more into the muck.
Yeah, that's right. And if you were to go over it, how tall would it be?
It's actually pretty low to the ground. So if I could just, like, it's like less than 5 inches off the ground. Like, even the paddles are, like, flat.
And is that how the paddle cactus normally is, or is it lower than a normal paddle cactus?
I actually don't know. I mean, it's not one of those big, big honking cactuses with arms. It's like this, I think it's your average low, cactus.
Okay. I like that.
I mean, it would be no problem like, I guess I'm not wearing the right clothes, because if I were wearing the right shoes, I'd just tromp right on over it. I mean, it would be easy to do.
What kind of shoes were you wearing in the dream? Do you know?
Not the right thing.
Okay. I'm gonna put.
I think like summer clothes, maybe. Maybe I'm even barefoot. And it's really stormy. Actually, you just made me think of that.
Very swarm.
It's dark and stormy and practically evening.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we're going to come in and start at this. And because it's kind of your average cactus and you're not really sure how tall a paddle cactus would normally be, I'm going to take the figure 5 and the 5 inches sort of relatively seriously. And we might explore the figure 5 in the interpretation as well. So, you know, because sometimes your perception of something when you put a size on your unconscious mind can pick a number that's actually relevant. So it might be like 5 years ago or 5 months ago, weeks ago. Oh, sorry, Suzanne, was this just a recent dream?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Very.
Okay.
Within the last couple of weeks.
Okay. So if we were thinking 5 years ago, we'd be thinking 2005. If we were thinking 5 months ago, we'd be thinking, sometime before Christmas. Can't work it out this quickly. September.
Wow.
Yeah. So we've got something in your path that you could easily get over if you were wearing the right shoes. But in fact, you're either wearing light shoes or you're barefoot in contact with the ground. I like the way that you're, you know, to be barefoot in a dream can be a good thing because it can mean like you're in contact with the ground. You know, there's nothing stopping you from feeling your way through life except that your dream is saying, okay, now perhaps you don't have the shoes. Let's feel what prickly thing is in your path that is appears to be an obstacle at the moment. So you're encountering in the dream, and the dream always reflects the day or two before, a situation or a feeling or an experience in the day or two before that felt ultra prickly to you and may or may not have related to 5 months ago or 5 years ago. And
I just thought of something.
Okay. Do you want to enlighten me at this point, or do you want to wait till later?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I would love to. no, I'll keep it to myself. 5 months ago, somewhere around 5 months ago, I mean, I'm a recent, I just entered business school, and I just finished my first semester. And the other thing that occurred to me is sort of the muck that I'm in, or the sort of the prickly situation.
Yeah. How does a prickly situation feel to you at the moment?
And specifically.
Okay, well, we'll go.
I'm trying to specifically figure that out right away.
Okay, so if we, as we continue with the dream interpretation, there'll probably be more clues. And this is actually, you know, as you say, this is what you're figuring out. Your dream has gone something prickly. How do we get around this?
Yep.
Okay, so this is what we're doing. Yep. So it is a good thing that you're barefoot and you're in contact with the ground. And we'll go back to the airport later and the Iowa and the letter, okay? But you're barefoot, in contact with the ground, best way to be. The best way to deal with obstacles in our life is to actually really get in touch with them. You know, even while we're wondering how we can move over them, we can't work out how to get over something prickly without going first, God, that is prickly.
You've got to
acknowledge the situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. Otherwise you're just, you know, blocking it all out. And to your left, it was rocky, and to your right, it was muddy, or was it the other way around?
It's the other way around.
The other way around. Okay.
It's the other way around.
That's good, because that makes more sense, and I'll explain why. To your left, it was muddy, and to your right, it was rocky. Now, the left, what's on the left in the dream often relates to your right brain. You know how the right brain crosses over to the left side of your body. The nerves from the right brain actually connect and operate the left side of the body, and they receive senses. So what's on the left side in your dream can often represent your right brain, your inner world, how you feel inside, your feminine side, your female side, your yin, however you like to, you know, pronounce it, but basically your inner world. And what's on the right side in a dream, and I'm really saying when there's a specific difference, you know, when you're in a dream, you go, look, that left side's completely different from the right side, you know. The right side is more your outer world. It's your left brain, your male side. So you're in your dream, you're going, your right side is going, out there my world looks kind of rocky. Like it's solid, but it's kind of rocky, you know. And on the left side, it's like, but inside me, I'm muddy. Now, muddy can be an interesting situation because muddy is kind of like water mixed with earth.
Yep.
You know, it's the water. And water in dreams often does represent our emotions. So what you're noticing in this dream is inside me, there's an emotional issue which has probably become muddied. Or if not, it is a situation where I would normally have my feet firmly planted on the earth, but there's an emotional issue which is turning the earth into mud. It's slippery, it's slimy. Okay. And all the time you've got a muddied kind of emotional situation inside that needs clarifying. Then you look at your outer world and no wonder it looks rocky. And no wonder it also looks prickly, because once you clarify this emotional issue, you can then work through the rocky situation or work through the prickly situation. So, you know, so those are the two issues. So if we just put that on pause there, and I also like the way that it's a paddle cactus, because, you know, every single word really is quite important. And, you know, we talk about, like, I don't know, paddle your own canoe keeps coming to me. You know, paddling is what you do, or you paddle. Maybe you paddle in mud too, you know. It's like, I'd really like to get through this. It's all low to the ground. The cactus is low to the ground. This is all really stuff about getting the ground right, getting what's underneath your feet, the understanding right, the grounding, the base level. Another aha.
Yep. Very much so. Well, but just because, I mean, I think some of the prickle, you know, I'm truthful, but also kind of truthful, but facetious at the same time. Like, yes, I want to figure out what to do with the rest of my life, and darn it, I want to know it now. but, I mean, there was a piece of this that, you know, I'm really, I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm really bored. My job is very boring. And one of the reasons I'm in school is to try to, you know, do things, get to a better place. And just right now is just frustrating because I'm where I'm at and I want to be on the other side. But no, I have to take the classes first.
Well, yes, you do, but maybe we're going to find in this dream and through the alchemy I give you ways to unprickle and you know, start to have a less boring and a more interesting life at work while you're on the way to also graduating. Okay, so we'll work through this. So that's great insight you've got there, Suzanne. Well done. So let's for the moment just backtrack to the airport because that's where the dream started. So you're at an airport. Usually you're at an airport to catch a plane. What does a plane do? It goes up in the air, whoa, a long way, reaches a destination and generally lands and takes you to a new place. So quite often, being at an airport or about to take a plane in a dream can mean right at the start of the dream, this dream is about something like a long-term goal or a destination way over there that I really want to achieve. That's where I'm going. Big stuff. Up in the air. Maybe up in the air can also mean like, not up in the air, off the ground, but up in the air, in the mind, in the thoughts, in the intellect, ideas, planes of thought, you know, that you're taking a long way. And so there's that beginning of the dream. Yeah, I've got this goal, which you've, you know, really just clarified for us all there. It's the thing that yep. you want to achieve by the end of business school. But what you're feeling in the dream is, I'm not on the plane yet. I'm not even on the plane yet. In fact, I'm staring down this paddle cactus with rocks to one side and mud to the other. So then let's backtrack a bit more and say, what came between the airport and the cactus? So what I think we'll do, Suzanne, is we'll go back before the cactus and after the airport to see how the dream can help us out there. And that was a bit where you were wondering if you could just take a few days off, maybe in the company of your ex, who's from Iowa. So if you were to describe the personality of your ex in three short, sharp words, what would they be?
Three. Okay. Creative, older,
and one more.
Sorrowful.
Sorrowful. That's interesting.
Sorrowful, yeah.
Creative, older, and sorrowful. So older as in wiser?
Yep. Pardon?
Older as in wiser?
No.
Okay.
So, just older by age.
Okay. So we'll take creative and sorrowful. Yeah, maybe we'll take older too. So what you're saying in the dream, everybody in the dream is an aspect of yourself. So to bring what you're really saying at that part of the dream is, I would like to take a few days out in the energy of my ex. I wonder if I can do that. So it doesn't actually mean with the ex. It means in the energy of creative, older, and sorrowful. So what I'm getting from that is that in order to break through this next stage, you really need to revisit something that has been sorrowful for you and allow yourself to experience that sorrow, to experience the prickles in order to move on. You know, and you said yourself a little bit earlier, oh, you know, part of me is a bit facetious, like, let's just get on with this, you know, da-da-da, like a bit light, just because that's the way you express yourself sometimes. And part of yep. yourself in the dream is going, well, maybe just sometimes there's room. Nobody wants to be in sorrowful mode for life, maybe like your ex, but sometimes there's value in stepping aside for a few days and doing that. Yeah?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That would have never occurred to me.
Yeah. And you see, also, Suzanne, because he's creative, you know, sometimes your most creative types are often, and particularly in artists, you know, often people that do spend time in sorrowful contemplation or on feeling difficult areas of life, and then, you know, rebound from that, able to creatively express those feelings and maybe sometimes able to produce something new out of that, you know, that if you know the sorrow, you know the joy. You know, you get to experience therein. So there's a part of you, and that links then more into the boredom side, as you say. You know, you're bored with the current job, and you just want to hurry things up and get that degree and be into a more interesting job. And so, you know, part of you is saying, yeah, but if you could perhaps just touch on something sorrowful that you have been sort of, and that may be what's been, you know, some kind of sense of sorrow that's been muddying the waters a bit, then you can, clarify that. And out of that, in the strangest way, though it never feels like at the time, but out of that revisiting of sorrow actually blossoms creativity. And when you're in a more creative frame of mind, as I'm sure you'll have experienced many times in your life, you don't feel bored.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, what I want to do, but what I don't want to do is, I don't want to go over the cactus, but I kind of feel like, you know, that's kind of got to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put some alchemy in to make that as painless as possible. But you're absolutely spot on.
Great. Oh, goody.
And it's even just, something's telling me in the back of my mind that spines on a cactus are about spine, you know, about strength and spine as well. That's kind of like the positive side of them. So we're definitely going to do that at the end of the interpretation.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. So that kind of fits in. And then you've got your, I'm getting three or four things I want to say at once. I've got to slow down and say the first one first. So Vermont, which in your mind is a green mountain, as green, as luscious, is growth in many ways.
Luscious, the word I wanted.
Oh, well, there you go, luscious. So, and that comes, you know, green and luscious growth and creativity, because, you know, green is creative, it's productive. You know, it's the result of things growing, which is creativity, comes from, rain is sorrow. You know, rain grows on cactuses to produce flowers, and rain grows on brown grass to produce green grass. So Vermont is green and wonderful and creative because sometimes it rains tears. It's sorrow that gives rise to growth. So you've got all of that there, and that's why you're trying to see that in the letter as V-E-R something T. It was probably Vermont. And I think the letter was in, did you say it was in red writing?
Yeah, it was red ink, yep.
So what does red ink make you feel when you see something in red?
Ink and, there are two things that come into my head. One is, you know, red ink is debt. You know, as in money. And another one is, I mean, my dad used to write, use a red ink pen to write with. And I think part of that feels kind of related too.
Okay. So was your dad very similar or very different from your ex?
Very, very different. Very conservative, whereas the ex was very not conservative.
Right, okay. So, and where are you on conservative, not conservative scale?
With the X, way more with the X.
Okay.
Like more, less conservative, less restrained, less, like my dad was technical and kind of rigid, and this guy was the opposite of that.
Okay. So when you're, you've probably, in being the daughter of your father and then in choosing the ex and then in unchoosing the ex, we're exploring.
Yep.
We're exploring all that, you know, where do I want to be, between rigid and conservative and completely, flexible and unconservative, you know, where's the best place to be? And the answer is always in the middle somewhere.
Yep.
So you're kind of exploring that. And of course, one of those things can often be that, and this was probably true for your dad. If your dad had something sorrowful, he probably would not allow himself to go there.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, so those are the kind of issues that you're looking at there. Part of you just wants to get on and get ahead and, you know, play by the rules and just, but as long as the rules would hurry up and you get that degree. And the other part of you is saying, look, you know, and I guess that same part is saying, look, don't go into sorrowful stuff because, you know, that's not going to get you anywhere and da, da, da. So all those are all the issues there. And what I really like too, when you were looking at that letter, Suzanne, was you were saying, does it say love or doesn't it say love? Like, you know, so the kind of deepest question about, there's something in there about, you know, what, what we do in life in the name of love and not in the name of love. And even your first feeling for the red, which was also debt, you know, you might want to explore their emotional debt in some way. You know, when somebody makes you feel good or does something for you and you think, oh, I've got to do something back for them, or I've got to make them feel good too. And sometimes that can get way out of control, and somebody does a little lovely kindness for you and you think you've got to repay them like 100 times more, you know?
Oh, yes.
Do you ever, does that,
oh, that's funny.
Does that ever happen to you?
More often than I'd like.
Yeah.
And, I'm noticing now also that, that red ink, Iowa, if you pull it apart, is I-O-A.
Oh, brilliant.
So there's something about owing or something that's been there.
Oh, that's excellent, Suzanne. Well done. Well spotted. There certainly is. So it's more than funny. It's very wonderful because it's going to help you get over the cactus. So putting, putting some of those things together, because I'm going to get you out of this cactus, and everyone listening wants you on the creative Vermont side of this. So there is an area of sorrow that you haven't wanted to visit, which you need to visit in order to get over the cactus. So we're going to have to do that. And one reason why you may be not wanting to go there is because it may be an area where you have already been pouring lots of return love to somebody in a kind of feeling that, oh, I've got such an emotional debt to pay here. I've got so much I owe you for what you did for me. And it's in fact way out of proportion. And in fact, you may even have sorrow as a result of that. It's like, I walked over coals and cactuses for you. And look what it did to me. And I don't want to even think about it. Yeah. So emotional debt, and it's a very, very common thing. A lot of women, when they look back at their lives, can see that instead of giving back equal, or instead of paying something forward, you know, tend to think that they've just got to pay so much back. And sometimes you can do that with a rigid father too. You know, the rigid father can take quite a lot, can expect, you know, doesn't show you sometimes as much love as they feel inside. And you as the child have to work really hard to earn that love. And that can be kind of like there too. Does that ring a bell?
Yes. Yes, and it just occurred to me, my dad died 5 years ago. So that's another piece of this.
There's our five. There's our sorrow. Have you?
Yeah, exactly.
did you feel that you've? How's your grieving process going with your dad? Have you cried a lot?
Oh well, yeah. Yes. Actually, what's funny is when he passed away, it was like the experience of grief was in thirds. And yes, that I do get that goes with the letter.
Yeah.
It's folded in thirds.
Yeah.
It was, I remember saying, my day is in thirds. I can work a little bit and then I cry and then I sort of am content or, you know, happy that he's in a better place.
Mm.
But it was a very interesting split, between the three feelings. It was very like, okay, now I'm working and I'm working very hard and I'm not thinking about this death.
Mm.
And, oh, I'm crying a lot. You know, all of a sudden, and then, oh, he's okay now. You know, he's not sick anymore.
That's a wonderful way to approach a grief or an ending of anything. That's beautiful that you can do that. That's wonderful. And go on.
Oh, it just sort of happened that way.
And have you experienced the same kind of processing with the ex, given that the letter was also connected with the ex in the dream?
No.
Could there be sorrow there that you can approach in that way?
I would like to do that.
Yeah.
To have that third thing.
So there may be some aspect of that, you know, putting the dream drawing it and the size of the cactus drawing attention to how you handled your dad, the grief of your dad passing, and how you have can yet better handle and therefore let go of issues remaining to be grieved and let go from the ex relationship.
Yeah. That sounds like it's hitting pay dirt, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because it's making me like sorrowful, kind of, or like my body's feeling it. So that's really good.
Okay, so we've really hit home. When the physical body gets it, and you also emphasized it with your words there too, or your unconscious. Did you use the word pay dirt?
Yeah, I know.
For those of you listening that didn't get it as quickly as Suzanne did, you know, the dirt is the earth and the pay is the debt. So we're getting the pay dirt. We're getting it coming back now. We're getting the rewards coming back to you, Suzanne. So look, we've put enough of the dream together. I'd quite like to move to the alchemy, but Suzanne, was there anything else in the dream that
way deeper than that?
Is there anything else in the dream that you wanted to clarify before we move to the alchemy?
No, you covered it pretty thoroughly. It's cool.
Okay. So what we want to do is we want to work. We've interpreted a lot of areas around the dream, and we've related it to 5 years ago and 5 months ago and to the ex. We haven't specifically related it 5 months ago, but we said that's when you started the new business course and you're feeling bored in other areas of your life while you're waiting for this to come forward. So what we want to do is find a way to further process, perhaps in thirds, the grief over the ex breakup. Revisit sorrow so that you can actually get in touch with those cactus spines and come out the other side and continue. Sorrow so that the grass can grow, so that we can Vermont. And when you can Vermont, you become more creative too. And the moment you're more creative, boredom flies out the window. Even if you're doing the most boring job in the world, if it's that boring, there's a part of your mind free to being creative at the same time. And we want to tune into that. Yeah. So we're going to work with the symbols of the dream, because those are the symbols that your unconscious mind has chosen to portray this situation in. And so we work with the symbols of the dream to get you through in the quickest way. So Susanna, you know that dream alchemy practices can be visualizations, they can be working with words, they can be working with art. Are you good at doing visualizations, or
I enjoy doing it. I can drop into a visualization pretty quickly and deeply.
Oh, perfect. That's wonderful. Okay, so let me think. The thing is that the visualization, what we have to do is, in a sense, visit that sorrow a little bit, not for long, in order to do the visualization and walk by. And your dream gave your own dream gave the suggestion, I think, of 3 or 4 days spent with your ex, which meant 3 or 4 days going through the sorrow to come out the other side. So I'm still going to go ahead, actually, and go straight into giving you a visualization to start, like, today. But to be aware that as you go through this visualization, it may be that the first 3 or 4 days you're going to find yourself in tears occasionally. And you may want to apportion that into thirds of the day.
maybe outside of the house, away from my husband.
No. That sounds like a good idea to me. Step out of the way when you're doing the visualization.
A little weird.
And because it will happen, you know, as you said yourself earlier on, I want to go over. I don't want to go around it. I want to go over it and realize that's going to mean standing on them. So all the time you carry something inside you, a sorrow or a grief that's still to be resolved, you can cover it up and cover it up, but it's still there and operating and affecting how you respond in the world, and in this case, limiting your creativity and therefore extending your boredom. So it is going to happen that you're going to cry, but when you do feel the grief coming on, just think, this is like the rain. This is going to produce the green mountain. You know, every tear I'm crying here is really, really, really good, because I'm getting it out of my body. I don't even need to understand it anymore, because we've kind of done all that just today in the podcast. You now understand enough that you need to understand, and your unconscious mind understands an awful lot more. And so you can just let it go. So in the visualization, you're going to start at the airport.
Yep.
Because you still want to catch that plane, don't you? You still want that to happen. You still want to achieve that goal. So you start at the airport, and you can see the gate that opens to where you actually board the plane. And between you and the gate, we're just going to go straight to the cactus, because we've dealt with the letter, is the cactus.
Okay.
You got it. This time, don't bother looking at the mud to one side. Don't bother looking at the rocks to the other. Just look at the cactus.
Okay.
And as you walk up to it, say to yourself, okay, all right, I'm going to step on this cactus now, and kind of knowing that it may hurt, but it's actually not going to. So it's, you know, bear with me here. And okay, the way onto the plane is to step on this cactus. So here I go, and lift up your bare foot in the visualization and step on the cactus. And as you do, those spines change into little feathers, maybe, or substitute that for anything else that feels good to you.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like that.
Yeah. And just walk across the feathers and just feel how soft and wonderful it feels. It's not as hard as rock. It's not as slippery as mud. It is just absolutely beautiful. In fact, it could almost be like walking on clouds, because that's where you're going in the plane. And you walk across it, and as you're going across it, you think, wow, this is so much easier than I thought. And maybe it's as soft as clouds. Maybe it's as soft as tissues, because it's kind of like being supported while you're crying, I don't know, but it's a really beautiful, soft kind of feeling. And part of you is in absolute awe, like, I really thought this was going to hurt. I can't believe this isn't hurting, but this is just so beautiful. I would have done this before if I knew that I'd feel so good as this. And as you go across, maybe let's take 5 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and step on the plane and feel the plane take off. And as you feel the plane take off in the visualization, actually hold in your mind a picture of where you're going to be when you finish your business degree. You know, hold a picture of that and all the positive feelings that you want to achieve while you're there. But at the same time, hold the feeling that every step of the way from now on in the rest of my life, I am a creative person. Like, call me Vermont. Ooh. Vermont is my middle name.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's great.
Does that sound good to you?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Oh, it's incredibly creative. And my heart is leaping with joy, believe it or not.
Oh, that's fantastic. I do believe it, because you're consciously understanding it, and your unconscious mind is right on board with it as well.
Wonderful.
Any other comments you'd like to make?
No. I mean, I'm just impressed and really elated that a dream that I thought I had figured out and thought I knew about it. You know, that's the way dreams are. You know, it uncovered this whole extra thing, a whole extra bunch of layers that I never even occurred to me had you not drawn it out like you did.
That's wonderful. Thank you. You know, it can be so difficult to see your own dream because it's your own stuff, you know. And then as I was working with you there, you were pulling wonderful things out, like seeing Iowa as I-O, you know, and some other things as well. So sometimes it just takes that person standing to one side and, as you say, guiding you a little further, a little deeper. And what I really loved about the way you responded to Suzanne was in it, not only adding to the interpretation as you feel it, but you were reading your body's responses and reactions and knowing when it was hitting home as well, which was really wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing your dream, because you've given infinitely more enlightenment than you've received yourself to all the other people listening as well, which is wonderful. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. Amazing. We've done 45 episodes. We're coming up to a year of doing a weekly show now, and I thoroughly enjoy every moment. There are many people listening. There are many of you out there that would probably love to come on the show. So do please. You get a lot of enlightenment from it yourself, and everyone listening in, as you know, also gets a lot of enlightenment from it as well. And I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun doing these podcasts. Talking about enlightenment, if you not really the kind of person to come on air, but you'd rather have a confidential consultation with me, of course, you know that you can do it by phone or by Skype. Have a look at my website for details. And there are also 2 different levels of email consultation that you can have with me confidentially. One of them is what I now call the in-depth enlightenment. And that's like the works, everything, including the alchemy. Or you can have the shorter, sharper version, which we call breakthrough, for obvious reasons. So anyway, enough from me today. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I look forward to talking to you, or with you, next week for another edition of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to The Dream Show. at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/DreamSight. The Dream Show is a production of DreamSight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.